This is its own talk as well. We started last week on a journey or a quest, and we called it the quest for eternal life. And so we're using clips from the Indiana Jones trilogy to delve into some gospel themes that we find in the Bible, and I think just the combination of that's kind of fun. So we're beginning a journey to discover God's plan for eternal life. And the very first day, what I wanted you guys to walk away with from our introduction was that when Jesus explains what eternal life is, he doesn't go to the future when you're in heaven. He says eternal life, in John 17, eternal life is knowing God and Jesus who sent him, or Jesus who was sent by him. Okay, so that's John 17. Eternal life is actually being in a relationship with God is what he's getting at. Knowing God, not just knowing about God, but actually knowing God. So that's what eternal life is, which is kind of blows your mind, right? Because that doesn't sound like what eternal life is. In fact, if you were to look up in the dictionary, it probably wouldn't say that, right? But that's how Jesus explains it. It was really cool. It's totally different. And so then last week, we started telling the story right from Genesis, and we went right straight through Moses, how sin entered the world, and it was like poison. And so what happened is, it's like when we sin, all of us drink this poison, and we've all been poisoned by sin. Now, the reason why we've chosen to think that is, well, one, we had a good clip about it, but two, is because I really like this analogy, because what can you do to get poison out of your body? Can you just act like a good person?
Antidote.
Yeah, you need an antidote, right? Something to counteract the poison. And so we kind of said, okay, that's like sin entering us. So we sin. So instead of just trying to be a good person to erase all that sin, which doesn't work, which is like poison, right? We actually need to have the antidote. And so we introduced the antidote as Jesus, and that's where we left off last week. And so you can't get rid of the poison without the antidote. All right, so this is part two of that talk. And so we have a clip that is from The Last Crusade. And it is, so Indy and his dad have just escaped from the castle Brunwald. And they just escaped the Nazis, and they're riding down the road, and they have this conversation. And there's a couple themes that I want you to pick up on. One is the diary. I want you to kind of tune in when you hear about the diary. The second is when he explains what the quest for the Grail really is. Okay, so those are the two things I want you to kind of be ready for. Are we ready? All right. So here's a couple things. So when he says, so last week we introduced the fact, sorry, it's really dark up here, Green, can you turn on the lights? I'm like, I can't read. I can't read good. Well, I can't read well. All right. So one of the things that we introduced last week is that the Bible isn't just a whole bunch of stories that someone's thrown together that are awesome and they have all these different heroes. Okay? There are stories in the Bible, and there's lots of different biblical heroes. But the Bible is actually one story. So all these little stories are all telling this one story about this hero that would come. And he would be the antidote. He would be the hero that would save us. Okay? So that's what the whole Bible is just this undercurrent. And so one of the reasons why I wanted you to tune into the talk about the diary is there's a specific statement in there that I just kind of want to explain a little bit, and then we'll get into the rest of our talk. He says, my diary is more than just a map. Okay, he's trying to tell Indy that it's more than just a map to find what you're looking for. Okay, and sometimes here's how we view the Bible. We view the Bible as, okay, I want to be happy. I want to find out how to live this life. And we kind of view it more as a map to our own happiness, or a map, maybe even a map to get to eternal life, which we're defining as, you know, in heaven. Okay, so I want us to rethink that, because that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is much, much more than that. And so this is kind of how I want to explain it. So the Bible is, it's more than just a map to find eternal life, right? We're on a quest to find eternal life, but the Bible's more than just a map, right? This is God's actual revelation of who he is. See, the Bible's under fire in our culture right now. People hate it. People think it's silly that there's this ancient document that could possibly have, you know, God's fingerprints on it, that he's the one who inspired it to be wrote, to be written, and that it's inspired word of God. Like, people don't like that. They don't like what it says. In fact, there's famous people throughout history who have taken the Bible, and they claim to be Christians, but they've taken the Bible and they've tore stuff out of it. They've, in fact, there's a famous, I think it's Thomas Jefferson, one of the founders of the United States, actually cut stuff out of his Bible because he didn't like it. And so we have this push, and it's right from the Garden of Eden, when the serpent tried to deceive Eve, and he wanted her to doubt God's word. And what did he say? He said, "Did God really say that?" So that's one of the themes that has been right from the very start of humanity. The enemy does not want you to believe and trust in the word of God. And for our series, I want you to understand it's more than just a map to find out how to live forever and be in heaven and not go to hell. That's not what the Bible is. Now, it does have that map. It does show us how, but that's not what it's for. It's God's actual revelation of who he is, what he's done, what his plan is, and then how he's going to do it. And it's this story about God, right from the beginning, desiring to be with us. And the whole Bible is telling this story. God wants to be with us, that he loves us so much and so dearly. He wants to be with his people. It's so cool. When you see the Bible like that, when you start understanding that every single story in the Old Testament, New Testament is this underlying theme, God desiring to be with his people. You get to the end and you're reading Revelation, and what happens in the very end? Sin is completely removed. And what happens? God is with his people. Like, fully present with his people. I got goosebumps. Like, this is so cool. It says there's not even going to be a sun, because there's going to be such a radiance from God, we won't need the sun. Isn't that incredible? Like, we're actually going to be with God. This is what God has been doing right from the start, that he just so desires to be with you. Let's just not just think of people in general. With you. He wants to be with you, and he's gone through everything in order to do it. And we're going to talk about what Jesus went through a little bit today, what God was willing to do to be with his people, to set things right so that we could be together. All right, so that's what the Bible is. The second thing I wanted you guys to look at was this whole conversation about evil. And I wasn't sure I wanted to show it because he says Jesus Christ, right? And so I was just like, maybe I shouldn't show that. But what I really appreciate is the slap in the face. That's blasphemy, right? And it actually emphasizes something that's really important, is that they didn't try to just put a swear word in there. That was intentional, because this whole thing was about Jesus. The grail, the search for the grail, is actually about Jesus Christ. So when he said Jesus Christ, that's exactly what the hunt for eternal life, or the grail in the movie, that's what it's about. It's actually about discovering who Jesus is. And so there's the slap in the face, and then there is this conversation. And Indy's dad looks at him. Of course, the music starts, right? Because it's one of those big moments in the movie. And he explains that the grail is not archaeology, okay? So you have Indiana, who's an archaeologist. He loves artifacts, right? And so what we have here is two different characters. We have someone who's looking at all these things and is intrigued by them, but he's just seeing this as archaeology, right? And you have a second character that's going like, "Oh, hold on. Like, this is not archaeology. Like, what did he say? The quest for the grail, it's a race against evil." So what Indy's dad understands, he understands something at a deeper level that Indy doesn't get, right? This clip really shows that Indy does not understand. In fact, he gets angry at his dad and says, "It's an obsession." But here's the thing with Christianity. Christianity is an obsession. It's being obsessed with Jesus. It really is. It's being so obsessed that your whole life revolves around it. So Indy is angry at his father because his father's entire life revolves around this grail, this search for the grail. And so for the Christian, that's actually how we're supposed to live our lives. Not for the grail, but for Jesus. That our whole life is wrapped around him, that we're obsessed with this incredible, our incredible God, whose name is Jesus. Like, that is incredible. It's amazing what he's done. And so we're going to talk a little bit about it today. And so what you have Indy, he's on the outside of Christianity, and he's looking in, and he doesn't understand why someone would be so obsessed with this grail. And I want us to think about this, because you guys have lots of friends, right? Lots of people that you know at school who are outside looking in, and you're maybe even trying to explain what we do on Wednesday nights, and you're like, well, we talk about Jesus, and you know, we sing some songs to God, and they're kind of like, what? Like, why would you like that, right? So you have this kind of indie kind of pushback going, like, what's all that to get obsessed about? Like, who cares, right? And so, you know, lots of times it's the invitation is kind of rejected when you guys invite your friends. And I want you guys to know and understand that it's actually, what's really important isn't that you've convinced them to come, it's just that you've asked. Like, our job is just to put it out there. Like, God's the one who's going to pull that person in. And they're going to, at some point, they're going to be watching your life. So when they start going through hard times, the Bible says when people see hope in your life, they're going to ask you about it. Okay? We find that in 2 Peter chapter 3. That people will see the hope in you. And you may not see it yourself, but when Jesus lives in you, so does hope. Because we have this incredible hope. We have Jesus living inside of us. Okay, so here's today's talk is entitled God's Mission, and it's the antidote to our poison. So let's continue the story. So we have Moses coming down from the mountain, breaks the Ten Commandments from last week. We talked about this. And so what happens is God was upset with his people, right? We actually at Recharge, if you're at Recharge, we talked about that a little bit. and then, so let's progress a little bit. The people repent. God actually makes them walk around the desert for 40 years. That whole generation dies off. Next generation rises up, and Joshua leads them into the promised land, it's called Canaan. They conquer it. Well, God conquers it for them. And then they settle in the land. And it's crazy, because one generation later, the people fall away from God. They forget the God that saved them. They forget the God that brought them out of Egypt from slavery. They forget. And so what we see in the Old Testament is this pattern develop. So what happens is the people forget God, and he's sad. God is sad because these are his people. He loves them. He wants to be with them, but they don't want to be with him. And so they get themselves in trouble, and they start worshiping these other gods, and they start doing horrible things like sacrificing their children to these awful gods. Like, terrible stuff that they did. And so God would send in someone, another nation, and they would conquer Israel. And they would oppress them, then Israel would go like, oh, this isn't so good. We should ask God to help us. So they would plead for God's help. They'd repent from their sin. God would send a deliverer. And they would deliver them. And then one generation later, what do you think happened? Same thing, right? And so we see this cycle throughout the whole Old Testament. And it's crazy. So let's fast forward right to the first century. What we have is this belief in the first century, and we have these religious guys, you probably know them as Pharisees and Sadducees, and there's a whole bunch of different titles, actually. Those aren't the same. Those are actually opposing. But anyway, so they have all these religious sections of people, right? And they believe really strongly, all of them, that if they do the right thing and they behave the right way, that God will be pleased with them. Right, so they believe, even though they've drank the poison, that if they just take God's law and they do it, that somehow that's going to nullify the poison. But just that doesn't make sense, right? If we're talking about poison, that doesn't make sense, right? You guys with me on that? Does that make sense? If you just do the right things, the poison will be okay? No. Right, and so there's this whole belief when Jesus comes that as long as you do the right stuff, as long as you be a good person, then you'll have eternal life. What do you guys think Jesus says about that? I have nope, but let's go with eh. That's a good one. All right, so Jesus says nope. And so if you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, it's on page 580. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 17 to 20. Oh, am I on the wrong page? Sorry. My page turned. Here it is. It's right at the bottom. 5:79. All right, you guys ready? Verse 17. So this is Jesus speaking, and he's preaching a sermon here to lots of people. He's speaking it directly to his disciples, but there's lots of people listening, so there's a big crowd. And this is what he says. "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So, if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But if anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be great in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, but here's the warning. "But I warn you, unless your righteousness..." What's righteousness? Can we just go with goodness? Right? Goodness is easier to understand, right? "But I warn you, unless your goodness is better than the goodness of the teachers of religious law, the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so this is a huge statement by Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, you see these guys, they're super religious, right? Everyone looks up to them and goes like, oh yeah, people who love God, that's those guys. They just do everything. They obey the law. They do all of these things for God. And what Jesus is saying is that is not good enough, that you have to actually be better than the religious all-stars, let's call them. All right? Okay? They're all-stars. And Jesus is saying, unless you're better than that, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Why, you guys? Why do you think he said that? Does it have something to do with poison? Sin? Yeah. What cannot erase sin and poison? Just being good, right? It doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. And so, our cannot reach God. It's really interesting that Jesus says this. This is a really powerful thing, because something inside you and I thinks that if we do the right things, and if we just act right, do good stuff, then God will accept us. Do you guys think that? Isn't that something you think? Am I the only one that thinks like that, and I have to shake my head and go like, ah, it's not like that? No? Do you guys think if you just do the right thing, that God is going to be happy with you and accept you? You guys don't think that? Well, that's pretty awesome. I guess maybe we've done better than we thought. There you go, I just did it. Okay. Sometimes, though, I shift into that. And your small group stuff will help you delve into that a little bit more. But here's how I know I'm doing it. When I do something and I fail, I'm just like, oh, what did I do wrong? And I put it all on myself. When something good goes and, you know, God does something good, he's just like, oh, yeah, God just did all this stuff. One of the ways that I know that I'm putting it on myself and I'm thinking about this acceptance stuff is because then I start going like, oh, I wasn't good enough. If I'd only been better, if I'd only not done this, God would have done this, or God would have done this. And I get into that every once in a while. And so it's really important for us not to, because this is Jesus explaining the fact that it's actually Jesus' righteousness. So this is how it all played out. This is how the antidote happened. So we learned that last week, that the wages of sin is death, right? So in God's justice, which is kind of a legal term, right? So it's like if you're in a court, there's a guy who's sometimes called a justice, right? He's a judge. And he is supposed to be just, right? I mean, he's supposed to be fair. He's supposed to make good judgments, right? And so, but God isn't just a good judge. He's perfect, okay? And he makes perfect judgments. And so when we come before God and we have sin, we have poison, God isn't going to look at you and go like, you know what? You were such a good kid. You're going to be fine, right? God loves you way too much to do that. He has to get the poison out of your body. And so here's what Jesus did. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus went to the cross and died for those wages. He took the penalty for our sin. So here's the deal. all sin is going to be dealt with. Okay? God's justice means that all sin will be dealt with. There's one of two ways sin is dealt with. One, your sin is dealt, the penalty is paid by Jesus. Number two is that you pay for it. That's the other option. There's only two options. And so the Bible's really clear about that, which is why Jesus came, right? This is why I've been introducing this idea of poison, because I wanted to get into our minds that just being a good kid isn't gonna cut it, that you actually need to belong to Jesus. You need to accept his offer of salvation for you and say yes to him. Otherwise, the poison stays. But when you say yes to Jesus, then the poison's gone. He takes it. It's gone forever. It's not going to come back. It's not going to be like, well, he failed today, so he's got poison. No, Jesus is the antidote. He nullifies the poison of sin in your life. All right, so this is what I want you guys to take home. So you're going to go into your small groups now, and you have some questions that are going to help you flesh this out a lot better than we did now. But here we go. There's two things that Christianity is and one thing that it's not. Christianity is not about being a good person, okay? Lots of people think that. Our culture thinks that. If you talk to people, they'll always say, everyone thinks they're a good person, right? But it's kind of weird because they'll go to like, well, I haven't murdered anybody, right? So they just go to the baseline, going like, oh, that's what a good person is, hasn't murdered anyone. They'll just try to justify it, right? But that's not what Christianity is about at all. It's not about being a good person. It's not even about being a better person. Christianity is actually about being a new person. That God actually makes you into a new creation, the Bible says. That's pretty cool. So God isn't just trying to make you better and into a good person. He actually wants to make you into a new person with new desires. And that's awesome, because I don't want to just be better. I need more than that. So Christianity is not about being a good person, but rather about receiving the antidote to your sin, about belonging to God, saying yes to him. This is Jesus and his sacrifice for you. He gave his life so that you could live. Okay, so that's the not and and what it is. Okay, so here's the second statement. Christianity is about God living in you and through you, and transforming you into a new person and making you right before God. So because of the poison, because of the sin in our lives, our relationship with God has been altered for the bad, right? It's broken. And so Jesus, one of the reasons that Jesus came was to fix that so that we could be in relationship with God. Because why would God do that? What do you guys think?
He loves you.
No, more than that. More than just love you. What's at the basis of this whole story? He loves you so much that he wants to be with you. He wants to be with his people. Like, this is what the driving force of God's desire for us, and it's poured out in his love for us, is that he wants to be with us. And so he's provided a way through Jesus for that to happen. That's actually awesome. That's the story of the Bible, you guys. And finally, Christianity is God's answer to be with his people. Sorry, I skipped ahead. It's only through Jesus that our relationship with God can be restored, so that God can be with us, and not just us, that he can be with you. So when you get into a relationship with Jesus, that God makes you right, gives you that right relationship, so that you can actually have a relationship with God, not just like on the outside. So if you were here last week, we talked about how incredible it was that God created just through speech, right? Just said stuff and it happened. Unbelievable. It's incredible. That same God, if you're a Christian, now lives within you. That is amazing. Like, amazing. Like, my mind just got blown, right? How big is that God? And yet he wants to be that close with you. So that's who our God is. So that's what we have. Christianity is not about being a good person. It's about God living in you and through you and transforming you into a new person. And it's God's answer to be with his people. All right, so that's our talk for today. Let me pray for you, and then we'll head to our fusion groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. They are amazing. I know some of the stuff we said today is a little technical. but Lord, I prayed before that even though it's a little technical, that it would just sink down deep, that our students would understand their relationship with you a little deeper, And so, Lord, I pray that they would understand the gospel, they would understand Jesus a little more after tonight, and that seed would continue to grow over time. Lord, be with them in their small groups today. I pray there'd be great discussion and good questions. Give our wisdom, give our leaders wisdom as they engage with these amazing students. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.